When I was a kid, I had an autograph book. I got it from Hallmark, and I had all of my friends put their signatures in it. I was a big basketball fan, and I had the goal of getting all of the signatures of the players on the Detroit Pistons. But in the age of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, where selfies are the new currency, who carries an autograph book anymore? Well, the Public Library in Los Angeles has an exhibit of its autograph collection that has been turned into a new book, and we visited the exhibit to learn more about the lure of the autograph, that yearning to capture a piece of someone, and what it says about us. We're joined by exhibit curator and author of this new book, Josh Kuhn, director of the USC Annenberg School of Communication. Hi, Josh. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you for having me. But now I got to ask you, who was like the top Piston who you had to get the autograph from?
I never got Isaiah Thomas, and he was the main one back then.
So if you're listening, Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. Well, is it right to say that this autograph collection was started by one guy? Give us the history.
It was started by one guy who, like you, loved autographs and kept autograph books, Charles Lummis, and he sent out blank stationery to groups of people that he called people who count.
This all started in 1906, so we're talking famous people like America the Beautiful songwriter Catherine Lee Bates, Helen Keller, and painter James Carroll Beckwith. Lummis sent thousands of blank stationery to these people he thought counted, entertainers, social reformers, zoologists, you name it. And hundreds of these folks actually wrote back.
A really wide range to his credit, and he sent out blank stationery and he said, send it back, but please improve upon this page. So it was an autograph, but really he left it open that it could be a signature, but it also could be watercolors, it could be excerpt from a speech, it could be all kinds of stuff, which indeed came through.
Josh takes me for a tour of the exhibit. Handwritten notes, letters, and photos on the walls of the first floor of the library. A welcome to folks who visit. And one letter catches my eye. Wow, we really don't see beautiful cursive like this anymore. Perfect penmanship back when that mattered. The dotting of the I's and the extravagant crossing of the T's. It's a poem about youth. We have tomorrow, it says, bright before us like a flame. And at the end, it's signed Langston Hughes, Los Angeles, 1935. And around the corner, a few pop cultural references. What am I looking at here?
1939 animated short by the Walt Disney Company called The Autograph Hound about a young, naive Donald Duck who wants to get everybody's autograph. Yes. He breaks onto the film set and is trying to get autographs from all the celebrities and keeps failing. And we've got a couple images here of kind of classic Hollywood autograph moments.
Behind us is a huge book, almost like a scroll, a book of signatures.
Put together for the Apollo 11 crew in 1969. And it was a project of a local LA radio station and the LA Times asking people around LA to go house to house, block to block, to put together any note they wanted, to leave their name for the crew of Apollo 11 and put together in this incredible big book. And this is actually really important for the project that this, when I first saw this page in particular,
This first page here.
Yeah, Robert Ibarra. And I saw his name was written quite large. And then above it, he wrote, I'll never make it, so I'll make it big. And that was the crux in many ways of the project for me, was that, this desire that if we could just write our names big enough that we'll be remembered.
Josh says it was apparent by way of collecting these autographs that Charles Lummis was making a name for himself. And that want, that need, well, we all have it to some degree. You have an interesting take on the autograph and what it means for us, why there's always been such a lure to have them. What does it really say about us, this need to have a piece of someone this way?
Well, I want to flip it back to you. I mean, the fact that after all these years, Isaiah Thomas has escaped your autograph grasp, right? It's because we, on the one hand, if you're asking someone for their autograph, we tend to be asking for those who keep autograph books, let's say, or want an autograph from their favorite fill-in-the-blank, favorite chef, favorite actor, favorite athlete, is that we want to have something that's left in their hand that they touch that comes back with us into our kind of space of intimacy, like back into an autograph book that might go in a drawer in your bedroom. It's a piece of them that becomes a piece of you and becomes part of your biography, our biographies, much in the way a favorite song will or a favorite film can just kind of take residence in our lives. And so I think that that's been a key drive for collecting autographs. The other piece that we look at in this project is not just collecting autographs of the famous or the known, is the other desire, which is why we all feel that we want to leave our autographs, which is to say on everything from, you know, a wet piece of sidewalk, we want to leave our initials, our names in a tree, but also the long history of writing on the built environment. And that goes back to, you know, centuries back to, you know, to cave paintings and cave drawings, to Native American, you know, wall art and wall drawings and rock art, up through graffiti and tagging and gang script and on and on and on. And so we do the kind of collective wisdom that was produced in doing this book was this idea that we have an innate desire to leave our mark on the world that is around us, the public environment around us. We want people to know we were here and maybe outlast this present moment.
Is there a shift, though, in what we're thinking of as that mark? I'm thinking about the selfie. And Elizabeth Warren, presidential candidate, has these selfie lines. Very few people are asking her for her autograph. Everyone wants to capture a photo of her.
Yeah. This is the challenge right now, is that what's happening with the autograph? What's happening with the signature? Because at the same time that people are wanting selfies, perhaps, and not her autograph, is also the same time that, you know, we're signing documents digitally. We're using DocuSign or another digital software, and, you know, we're not writing as much to begin with. The very notion of script or, you know, handwritten text is not something, you know, most of our writing has gotten horrible. But I don't know. I think that instead of seeing them as separate, I actually see them as part of the same story. Mm. It's a continuum of wanting to be seen. And so I think there is something at work there with the selfie, but also the digital tag, not the graffiti tag on a wall, but the digital tag, like, oh, I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to tag people in it. And sometimes you tag people who are in the picture, but as we all know, in our weakest moments, we tag people who we want to see that picture. Yes. And try to actually create a community of renown around us. Mm-hmm. So it's the same ideas with different technologies. I didn't want this project to be a kind of back in the day when autographs were great project, but more about, let's think about this larger universal idea of the desire to leave our mark on the city we live in and on the time that we're here.
Have you ever thought about how we yearn to leave our mark on the places, you know, the cities and towns we call home? In curating this autograph collection, Josh started thinking about the ways his home, LA, is changing.
Los Angeles was and continues to be going through one of many periods of intense gentrification and neighborhood displacement that has been really painful for lots of communities, predominantly communities of color around Los Angeles. And a lot of that is about what gets erased when people move, when people are forced to leave their homes and forced to leave their neighborhoods. Like, what happens to those stories? And if they left marks there, where are those marks? And what storefronts are left and what storefronts are covered over? And all these questions around the politics of memory. And so this
and
really
is questions that all over the world absolutely. People are grappling with.
Absolutely. That's something as simple and as small as, can I get your autograph, or I'm going to write my name on the desk in school or something like that. Something as simple as that. Like, we do this every day, mm-hmm. right? It's so instinctual. We want to leave our mark. We want to leave our name.
Back at the exhibit.
That's the illustrator from the original Jungle Book.
There are all of the famous and notable autographs collector Loomis spent his life gathering. But in curating this exhibit, Kuhn was also thinking about all of the names we'll never see.
You know, you have to deal with what you have and what's in front of you, which is thrilling and exciting. And the more you work with it, though, you realize you're also looking at a record of what's not there and what's missing. And you realize the obvious thing is that all archives and all collections are not, you know, kind of these natural formations that just appear out of the air. They're curated. They are, you know, the result of individuals who make choices about what to collect and why. Sometimes you know the rationale, sometimes you don't. And so my goal has been to take it at face value first and say, what's here? What are the stories that it's telling? And then say, all right, what are the stories that are missing? Whose voices, whose names? And the projects become kind of referendums on the politics of archiving themselves, I'd say.
Improve upon the page. Remember, that's what collector Loomis would say to all those famous folks he'd send blank pages to. Kuhn loved that idea, but with a twist.
we had an autograph day last year where we asked anyone in Los Angeles who wanted to come to branch libraries, how would you improve upon the page of the city? And anyone could fill out the autograph. So we also include those autographs in this exhibit. So it's the people who counted in 1906, and now it's anyone in Los Angeles who came in. They too count, and their voices are on the walls here.
Josh Kuhn, director of the USC Annenberg School of Communication. Josh, thanks for joining us. Can I have your autograph?
Of course.
I'm serious. I want your autograph.
Think I'll let her keep on going wherever it is she's going to. Give her my autograph and tell her it's been nice.